Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And with the golden voice, Ted Williams, Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, Tuesday, February the 20th, 2024. A lot of twos in that date. Four twos in today's date. 2/20/24. 16 minutes past the hour. A little chilly here in the Marion area, but nice and bright this morning. We can't go wrong there. Hope you had a great President's Day, three-day weekend, if you got a three-day weekend and enjoyed it. And if you didn't, hope you enjoyed your weekend on the whole in general. The snow that came late Friday, what a mess that was. But, you know, maybe the groundhog was wrong. I don't know. You know, I still don't really understand that whole groundhog thing. What is it? Between February the 3rd and March the 20th, if you have more days over 40, that's an early spring, 40 degrees. More days under 40 degrees, then it's, six more weeks of winter? I don't know who's checking, but right now I think six more weeks of winter has the lead at this particular point. Two quick McDonald's updates here this morning. Remember, curbside order pickup, digital Fridays. Free six-piece chicken McNuggets when downloading or using the app. One Friday left this month, and it's this coming Friday. Friday, February 23rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Friday. Free six-piece chicken nuggets when downloading or using the app, Digital Fridays. Free Shamrock Shake exclusively on DoorDash. Orders of $15 or more from February 25th through March the 4th. So I guess this has to be on DoorDash. When you spend $15 or more, you get the free Shamrock Shake. Well, who knows? Maybe McDonald's is partnering with DoorDash. In any event, lots to talk about here this morning. We've had a lot of things happen since we've gotten together and talked last Thursday. Of course, we were on the air last Friday, but I think we had a guest every segment on Friday, so we really didn't get much of a chance to talk. And then yesterday I had two guests on the program, so we really didn't get a chance to talk. So a lot has happened in the last 4 or 5 days. So let's talk about some of it. Our person, now last week I had said that there was going to be a person return on Friday who had not been on with me in about 12 years, and they used to be on with me once a week. And that person ended up being Jessica Hauser, and she came back last Friday from 9:15 till 11 a.m., and we just had the best time. Matt Morgan joined us on Friday morning, and honestly, I asked Matt when it was over, I said, how do you think that went? And he said it went very, very well. It was great to have Jess back, and I was trying to remember. I was at another radio station at that time. I think I was at WDCM. And I don't even remember how Jess started coming on with me. I knew her before she did the radio with me. We had worked together in college. So I certainly knew who she was. But I don't remember how that all got started. But I thought she was great on Friday. And it was like she had never been gone. And 12 years is a long time not to be together on the air, and I recently kind of got reacquainted with her and thought, well, wouldn't it be great if we could bring her back on and everything would be as it had been in the past? And you know what? It was. We had a great time Friday, so I hope you enjoyed listening to that Friday. And it's kind of interesting because, what was it, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was talking about who's going to be the next Madge Cooper here in Marion. And, you know, I still don't know who the next Madge Cooper is going to be, but it is interesting that Jess came back into the fold. And I'll tell you something about her that I really enjoyed on Friday. is that she doesn't go with the flow. You know, she's completely the complete opposite of some other people we've have on the station. You know, where Carrington is all about love and all about Taylor Swift and so on and so forth. If you listened on Friday morning, Jess is kind of the complete opposite. Jess is about, she's a little cynical about love, and I think she said that she believed that the whole Taylor Swift relationship was a put on. And, you know, I thought that was kind of refreshing to hear, because she was very, I think, honest in her opinions. And, you know, it doesn't really matter what you say, as long as you're as honest as you can be. So I loved having Jess back. Matt enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun on Friday. And who knows, I'm not saying that she's the next Madge Cooper, but you never know. Stranger things have happened. Now, I do want to talk about Matt Morgan's interview, which aired on Friday. We announced on Friday that his big interview, nobody guessed it, but it was with presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, Chase Oliver. And that interview aired Friday after the Friday night show, and I hope people really did get a chance to listen to it. As I said, I was so proud that Matt got that interview, because I did not do anything. As much as I would like to take credit for it, I cannot take credit for it. Matt went out and got that interview, and he got it through persistence, which is something you have to do. He did the interview. I engineered the interview for him when he taped it last Thursday. So, again, not my thing. I thought he did great. I thought, you know, for really his second interview, straight interview with somebody else, I thought he did fantastic. And he was interviewing a presidential candidate. And, you know, that's kind of heavy. Especially when you're 20 years old, to try to stay up and about on all those topics. So I thought Matt did a tremendous job. And if you heard that interview, I think you probably think it was pretty interesting. So Libertarian candidate for president Chase Oliver was the big interview, and I thought Matt did a tremendous job. And if anybody has anything to say about Jess Hauser being back with us on Friday, or Matt's interview with Chase Oliver, you can give us a call. The phone lines are always open here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, we're going to take the phone call here and then come back to this. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, good morning and sunshine to you and me.
Absolutely. Isn't it great?
Yeah. I listened to Matt there Friday. And that Chase Oliver, you say that's his name?
Chase Oliver.
Yeah. Wasn't he a fine one to be interviewing that he helped along with Matt's first or second or whatever he's got under his belt for an interview? I thought that gentleman was really nice to Matt, and he wasn't him hauling around. He helped Matt out, and Matt helped him out, and Matt was just himself. And I thought he'd done a wonderful job.
So did I, and I picked up on that, too. I like, you know, I always say when you're doing an interview with somebody like that, you want them to speak about 80% of the time and you 20, and I think Chase got that, and he did, and that helped. And I thought Matt asked good questions. He had done his research. I saw it when he came in. So I knew Matt had good questions, and I thought it was a fine interview, and it filled about 47 minutes, so... You know, the point of a good interview is to try to convey some information. And I thought they conveyed some information, so I was very proud of him.
Yeah, I thought it was, too. I thought the information was good, and Matt just asked the questions, and that was it. And he answered them, and the show went about as perfect as you could ever want it to go, wouldn't you say, Scott?
Oh, I would say. And the fact that this was a presidential candidate... you know, that can be a little intimidating for your second interview, but I thought Matt handled it very well.
I think that Chase was very good. I think he said his age was 39, and he's very polite, and he's very, he really knew what he was talking about. I didn't know what he was talking about because I'm not on that line, but the way he talked, he was very sincere with Matt asking him the questions, and that was nice.
You know what I thought about it? I thought, no matter what you feel about this guy, Chase Oliver, I thought he's being very honest, because when Matt asked him if he thought he could win, he didn't run right out and say, oh, of course I can, as most political candidates would. He said, I don't know, anything could happen, but it's not likely. And I thought, well, that's an honest answer, so I'll give him credit for that.
It went good, Scott, so you've done a good job prepping with Matt, and Matt done a good job listening to you, and he went out, and he was on his, what they call a solo flight, or the first time around, and I thought he'd done as good as he can do, and I think he's on his way, don't you?
Well, so do I, and I'll tell you something interesting. When I came in that day, because he wanted me there just to engineer the show, and I did not give him any advice that day. I just sat there, because I think when you go in and give people advice or something right before the interview, it kind of throws them a little bit, because they're already ready to do what they need to do. And I thought, I'm just going to, if he asks me a question, I'll answer it. If not, we'll just go ahead and do this. And it's funny, because I thought about this, because obviously I've said this on the air, I don't have any kids. But I think I got that feeling of being proud of a child when they do something good, because I am around Matt quite a bit, and, you know, I was just extremely proud of him.
Well, I'll tell you, I haven't been around him quite a bit like you, but I remember the first time he was on the radio at the election park, and he was on his own down there at the election center, and he was a very polite young man when I heard his voice cracked the mic, and you know what, that was how long has that been, a couple, 3 years, something like that, and you know that he was brought up by his mother and father in a home life and stuff, very polite, and after he'd been around the other gangs, he learned a little bad habits. By golly, he sticks right in there with you guys.
You can pick up a lot of bad habits around us, but I just was so happy for him, and you know, the excitement during the breaks, and that night, while that interview was playing, he was already on trying to get his next interview. So I'll tell you, maybe my replacement is ready to come along.
And I listened to the Friday night show when Carrington and Matt got together, and there they went. Each one of them went together, and they carried the tune real well, too, I thought, right there. And you kind of sat back in the chair, and I commend you very nicely. It's hard to turn things loose, isn't it, Scott? And then, by golly, I think they done well talking back and forth, and they never had a dead piece of air there. With those two are talkers, I believe.
Well, I'm glad you picked up on that, because, you know, I don't know if people got what I was doing on Friday, but I did not want to let Matt or Carrington know that I was going to do that, because I wanted to see how they would do in a spontaneous situation. And I thought, okay, I'll be there for the first hour. I'll do the first hour. But the second hour, I'm just going to lay back, and I'm going to see what they can do. And you know what? They did great.
Yeah, that's right. That was great you done that. Buddy, it's hard to turn loose. But my wife and I raising kids, and when they so-called fly out the nest, and you see whether they're going to make a crack, they're going to fly away with the perfect of ease, and that's what you done. You turned them loose, and I think you got a nice pair right there, Scott. So congratulations to you and them, and continue on. I'll see you later.
Yeah, hey, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, you know, that was interesting about the Friday night show. I don't know if people picked up what was happening on Friday night. But, you know, we do the two-hour show, 8 to 10 on Friday night. And the first hour was typical Friday night show. I moderated, and we did what we normally do. And then during the break, I thought to myself, you know, I don't want to let them know that I'm going to drop back here, because I think sometimes that makes people nervous, or they kind of over-prepare. And I just wanted to see what they would do if I kind of laid back for an hour and didn't say a whole lot. And so that's what I did on Friday. And you know what? They knew it was a show, and they carried on for 45 minutes. And I thought did a fantastic job. So I have to commend both of them again. And I'm saying I cannot be any more honest. Like I say, they are not my kids. But the feeling that you get when you have kids and they're doing something great and you're proud of them, you know, that's kind of how I feel. And it's kind of interesting because being in broadcasting all these years, it's a very competitive business. I mean, you will knock somebody out of the way to get their slot. You want more airtime. You want to get the big interviews. You want to get them first. And that's not so much the case with Matt and Carrington. I don't feel that way with them. I just am excited when they do something good. I'm excited when they get an interview, and I don't feel the need to be in that type of competition with them. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, what happened to Taylor Swift performing at the Super Bowl halftime?
I know. I was all wrong about that, wasn't I?
Yeah.
You know, I think the Super Bowl missed a big opportunity in not doing that, but maybe she was too busy chugging those beers.
No, I stream, and I'm surprised I was able to get the Super Bowl because they was really wanting you to buy, you know, on the streaming service, the Super Bowl. But sometimes a game will go through like that, even though you're supposed to buy it.
You know what?
I got to watch it. I don't know who shot at what network or anything, but they didn't show Taylor Swift or in the crowd once.
Oh, really? On the streaming, they didn't show her at all?
No.
On the network, they showed her. I don't know how many times they showed her, but I think it all added up to about a minute, which was, that's pretty significant for the Super Bowl if you're not a player. But, you know, it was interesting, and the Super Bowl was watched by over 123 million people. Now the most watched thing since the moon landing, and you know, I think that's a good thing. I mean, I don't know why it's a bad thing.
It just keeps setting records every time we have a Super Bowl.
Well, what did you make of this Super Bowl, though? I mean, you did have the drama of Taylor Swift. You did have the drama of the Kansas City Chiefs trying to repeat. And you went into overtime. I mean, it was a good game.
It didn't go into overtime.
I think it did.
No, it didn't.
What?
They won 31-20.
This year's Super Bowl?
This year's Super Bowl.
Now hold on. Now let me double check this because I'm pretty sure it went into overtime. Let me check here. Super Bowl final score 25-22. Oh, overtime, final and OT.
So maybe I didn't watch the right Super Bowl, huh?
It might have been. Maybe that's why Taylor Swift wasn't on the screen.
Yeah, that could explain a lot, Derek, couldn't it?
Yeah, but no, it was a great game, and I thought it was fascinating. Did you get a chance to hear Matt's interview with Chase Oliver?
Yeah, I listened to all that. That was good.
Yeah, what did you make of that? Presidential candidate. I thought, hey, this is pretty good for your second interview.
Yeah, he asked a lot of the pertinent questions, and, you know, I think Chase is, you know, spot on a lot of things. I mean, he wants to do away with the military a lot, but we can't do that. That's the only thing keeping us from, you know, being bombed.
Well, I was trying to figure out some of the things he said in regard to, like, down-ticket voting, where you have a first choice and then you have a second choice. I really didn't understand how that would work. But I thought Matt did a great job with the interview, and I also thought when I laid back on Friday, I thought Matt and Carrington carried that hour very well.
Yeah, they did good on that hour.
Yeah, so it was all positive.
Matt did good on the interview, except he had a few times where I think he lost his train of thought, and there was a little bit of dead air time in there.
Well,
and his voice started getting a little soft sometimes.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting, and it's I think Matt would tell you this. First time Matt came in, I said to him, when Matt first came into the radio station, I said, if what I do looks easy, then I'm doing it right. And I think interviewing's a lot harder than people think. And Yeah, and it's very difficult because it's right in the moment. It's live. It can be very difficult. And you know what? I'm not saying Matt did a perfect job, but how can you do a perfect job? It's just your second interview.
Oh yeah, I'm not criticizing Matt.
No, no. But,
I mean, he did a fantastic job, and you know, for no more. And Matt didn't come in there as this know-it-all cocky guy that, you know, he's not going to get flustered or, you know. Matt come in there as a more gentleman type, you know, person, more, you know, with manners, like Ted was talking about.
Yeah, and, you know, I tried to explain. It's interesting, and I like talking about this because it gives a little insight to what goes on. Matt was talking to me because he's seen me do interviews, and I don't really write questions down. And he was saying, well, should I write questions? And I said, that's all style. I said, you know, my style is not to do that because that doesn't work for me. But if that works for you, if that makes you feel more comfortable, do it. Because a lot
what
of people...
What did you do when you first started out? You probably had some notes, didn't you?
You know, when I and I'll tell you, that's when I realized it wasn't working for me. I what I used to do, you know, 22 years ago, when I first started out, I would actually write the introductions, which I don't do that anymore. I would write the introductions and I would write the questions, and I realized very quickly I got more interested in getting all the questions in that I had written down, and I wasn't paying enough attention to what they were saying. And I wasn't following up on what they were saying. And also the introductions I thought sounded very wooden because I had written them. So I didn't do that for, I don't even think I did that for a year. I mean, I just felt so uncomfortable doing it. And then when I just threw out everything and said, all right, let's just do the interview. Now the only thing I write down is if I'm interviewing a politician or something, I'll write down a statistic that I don't want to get wrong. I'll write those down. Or a quote, but other than that, I don't write questions or anything. And then the other thing with Matt is, you know, the only thing he asked me, because he had that interview lined up for a week, and really the only thing he asked me was, he said, what kinds of questions would you ask him? And I think I did give him one question that he did ask. I think the question I asked was, if you had to vote... No, what was the question I gave Matt? Does he really think he can win? I think that was the one I tossed to Matt as a third party.
Yeah, and he answered that well, that guy. I mean, like you say, instead of saying, well, of course I'm going to win. You know, he was realistic.
Right. And I think so, but as far as the type of interview Matt is doing now, and not that styles can't change, but I think Matt does a more informative interview. As you say, I don't think it was hard-hitting. I don't think it was that. I think he wanted to get information out, and those interviews are good. My interview style is a little different. I don't think I'm combative, but I think I maybe ask a little tougher questions. But that's just style. I mean, it's not doesn't make one better than the other. Just different interviews. Did you get to hear Jess Hauser on Friday morning?
Jess Hauser, now who is he?
No, Jessica Hauser. She was in on Friday morning with Matt and I.
No, I didn't hear her.
Yeah, she was good to have back. I thought she did great. And I thought Matt and Carrington did great in the second hour when I kind of left them alone on Friday night.
I haven't been listening too much sometimes. I have trouble sleeping, you know.
Right.
But, you know, pain, you know, dealing with it. And a lot of times I go so long and just wear myself out and then sleep. And that's all I want to do. And then when I wake up, you know, I can't go back to sleep a few hours later. No, I got to wear myself out totally again. And sometimes it don't coincide with 8 o'clock.
No, and you know what? People get in those cycles. I'll tell you, I was in one of those cycles this past weekend. I accidentally fell asleep for like 20 minutes on Sunday night, and then when I tried to go to sleep, it was murder. trying to go to sleep. I did want to ask you, though, did you get to hear Jim Blessing yesterday?
No.
He was on, grandson of President Harding, and certainly had no problem yesterday going in deep and endorsing Donald Trump for president this year.
Oh, that's a shame.
He had a lot of very interesting things to say, I thought. Now, I know a lot of people got ticked off at the stuff he was saying, but, you know, everybody's got an opinion, and I think that's the important thing. I think last year's Super Bowl was 38-35, so maybe you watched the Super Bowl from the previous year.
I bet if I did. Well, at least Kansas City Chiefs won either way.
That's right. Not much difference.
You know, I knew it was right. Who won?
That's right. And you know what? The story was not that much different, except that Taylor Swift was involved.
Right.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep, see you.
And, of course, our phone lines always remain open here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. But, it was great to have Jessica Hauser back on Friday, and I hope she will be back this Friday. As far as I know, she will be, so we'll keep an eye on that. And I'm sure Matt will be doing more interviews, and we'll all be happy to see that progress happen. Now, what else do we have to talk about here this morning? Oh, well, we can talk about the Jim Blessing interview yesterday. I don't know if people got to hear it, but I thought on President's Day, who better to have on than the grandson of President Harding? And I'll tell you, this interview ticked a lot of people off. You know, I don't know why, because I really can't speak for other people as to why it ticked other people off. Maybe it was because he was very pro Donald Trump. I don't know. But I know it ticked a few people off. But, you know, it's his candidate. We all choose our candidates. And he endorsed him. I thought it was fascinating. I find Jim fascinating. I find it fascinating that we've got an offspring of a president here in Marion. He's obviously still not very happy with the Harding family. And I always find Jim really, really fascinating. So, there you go. That was the Jim Blessing interview yesterday. And if anybody has anything to say about that, you can give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Yes.
I thought it's me. I haven't gotten that envelope over to you yet, but I'm putting it in a brown envelope. Will that fly under the door?
Yeah, it should. Those are big gaps under the doors.
Because there's a newspaper, and I've been saving it for you for a while. And I was going to tell you, I went up to the neighbor's pizza over a week ago, and I asked him if anybody from the radio station had been up, and he said no. But it was really good. And, in fact, I think I like it better than Donato's. The other ones I ate, you know, was okay, but this one was really good, so.
Yeah, we probably haven't given a pizza away from there in probably close to a year.
Yeah, because everybody liked it, but I said, have you seen anybody from the radio station? He said, no.
I'll tell you something interesting about radio. People know that coupons work because you have to bring the coupon in and turn it in. Most people working at the pizza place have no idea why those people are coming in, and I highly doubt they ask every customer who comes in, did you hear about us on the radio? Did you hear about us on the radio? So
he probably knows the people, because it was mostly like the same people that, you know, that went up and got them and stuff, but it was really good because some of us for years went up to Donato's every Saturday, maybe sometimes Sunday, and had pizza, and this one, I think I'd prefer it over Donato's, so, and that's saying something, so.
Well, I'm glad it got you hooked on the pizza. Did you hear Jim Blessing yesterday?
Yeah, he's right on.
You know, some people.
Well, if they don't do something with this country, if Biden isn't running the White House, that's illegal. And if Obama and these other people are running it, they're not president, and they've got these 8 million people. I'm seeing New York now where those Venezuelans, I can't say it, are hooking up with the gang members over here, and they're attacking. Well, if I watch CNN and those, I don't see nothing. I have to watch Fox News to get anything. people can't walk down the alley. It's a mess, and they're hijacking cars and stealing, like, I forget how many stealing cars and stuff. And these people aren't working, and if they don't get the money from the government, well, how are you going to, my cousin, her grandson, I have to get this right because my cousin's deaf, her grandson is going to, he's going to be a chef in Pennsylvania. And he said they have one of the, I guess, illegals working there. And by the time, he doesn't speak English, and by the time he tries to help him, he can't do his job. So how are all these people going to work in jobs if they can't speak English and stuff? But they said, they just mentioned the Venezuelans. They said they are the ones, they're, when they come over here, I guess with tattoos all over their face and arms, they're already with a gang. But they said the gangs over here can't wait to recruit them, and that's what they're doing. So we're not going to be fighting other countries. We're going to be fighting right here in our own country, the stuff. Well, you can't walk down the street or go out without getting your head bashed in or shot. You know, something has to be done, but nobody wants to do anything. And I don't know if that's the world's running the stuff. When you can't get a prosecutor, you can't get people that are fair, then you've got a problem. We just need a dictator and get it over with. I think we, Soros not doing it, they said anymore. His son took over.
Well, I don't.
At the White House 40-some times. So just put him in as the dictator and get it over
with. I don't know if we need a dictator. I would not be pro dictator.
Well, Scott, okay, say you've got a company and it's worth $10 million. Are you going to put Biden in to run that, to maybe lose it or not? I mean, I watch. They do his fast and everything. He can't, I mean, I feel sorry for the guy. And to let him do that, his wife and stuff, that is stupid. And we're just, it's just the wars. Just everybody, we're just in it with everybody. And we can't take care of the whole world. They're going to have to, I don't know, do something. I mean, nobody pays their fair share. We try to take care of all these countries, and we can't. And I don't blame the people in Chicago, the black, and in New York. They're not getting anything hardly anymore. And these people, why would you give them $1,000 or more a month? I don't know. It just makes me so mad. The homeless, why couldn't we build those shelters for our homeless instead of we had to wait till the illegals came to do it? I mean, that's what gets me mad. To come over here, if they want $1,000 or so to come every year or whatever, that's fine. But you can't, down the road and stuff, I don't want them to start cutting my pensions.
Well, I want to make sure to say I'm not saying either one of these candidates is a dictator, and I'm not saying that Biden has all the answers.
I'm not saying they're a dictator, but I'm saying we almost need somebody in there. I mean,
I don't want a dictator in there. I'm kind of partial to freedom of the press and freedom of speech. I don't really want to see that go away.
No, but when somebody can't stand there and give a speech without looking at cards, I mean, almost any citizen off the street could do that. When you know he's got problems and he won't do a test, they need to make them, when they even get in president, every year or every other year because of this Alzheimer's and stuff, you need to take a test. And when somebody's in there, the majority knows that you can't do stuff, and you let him in there, and he's on vacation more than he's at the White House. He only works 4 hours, they say, a day and stuff. When you've got somebody in there, look at this mess we're in. Nothing's getting solved. And when you see them down there, the migrants, by the thousands, and you don't think there's Texas, they had the blunt of it. They had to take care of all these people. Well, then, I know Pennsylvania has some, but let's send about 100,000 or 200,000 to every state and let them take care of them. Texas can't, certain states can't keep absorbing this. And I can say is it's a disaster. And when you know something needs to be done about it, you get in there and you do it. And then I feel sorry for the people. They have a flood or they have a fire and stuff. They get no help. But yet, we could come up with hundreds of millions, billions to help somebody that's not even a citizen that comes in. And this is what gets me. I see California's just flooding like crazy. And some people I don't know if the insurance covers that. I mean, I just feel so sorry for people. But you can't take care of the world. I mean, you know, like when we send money to these countries, I don't know if it's 160 or I don't know, whatever. We need to send two people. And when they get, say, 100 million, they give out the money. Make sure that they don't buy guns with it, help them with farming, and get them stabilized. But they don't. They just throw the money in all these states. I mean, countries, and what do? They go, you know, dictators. They go use it for themselves. And I don't know. Just the whole thing needs revamped. Well, but if somebody doesn't get in there this time, and I already think we're too far gone. We're going to be like these countries. Well, we're already running down the street getting shot at and stuff. Well, I don't think, really, I don't think anybody they could put in there will reverse what it is already.
Well, I just want to say that, and I'm not, I don't know what, I don't know what anybody's mental state is. I'm not around these people. I don't know what's going on. But I'm just talking about giving a speech with cards. I couldn't tell you the last time I went to a speech where somebody didn't have notes. And this is people from the age of 20 to the age of 90. Most people use notes.
Do you watch Biden give any of his speeches at all?
I've seen some of them, yeah.
Because they have on there the gaffes he makes, and there's hundreds of gaffes. And he gets NATO mixed up with Ukraine, and he gets all this. What if he mixes something up? And it causes a disaster. I mean, you not only have Obama's people talking about him, but you all have the other presidents, and they all notice it. I mean, if I noticed my parent was having trouble and stuff, I don't know. To me, the world's a mess. And just the last 3 years, it's been a disaster. I don't think you will come back. I don't care who you put in there.
Well, You know what's interesting to me, honestly, about politics? This is the most fascinating thing to me, is that, you know, people attack people. We're attacking Donald Trump right now for his felony counts. We're attacking Donald Trump for some of the things that he says. We're attacking Joe Biden for his age and his memory and things of that nature. But we vote these people in, and we vote them out. So I really don't think that we should criticize them for much, because, to be honest with you, if we didn't want them there, don't put them there.
No, they said that Dominican, when Biden got in, and a couple other countries used them, and they had the same situation. They said if it's paper votes, they can't hardly cheat. And when they give them a month, you can't take one Saturday or Sunday and let the people go vote. If you can't vote, you can't vote. I saw a month ago, I don't know what state it was in, but this black lady went up to one of those post office-like things and put her ballots in. Then she goes back. She did it three times. Then a black man went, and he was putting them in there. I call it the mail thing. And then I seen California just a couple weeks ago. I think it was a post office employee or something around a ravine, seeing all these things, and it was voting. And they contacted the one couple. They were like in their 70s, and they said, well, we took our vote to the post office. There it ended up in the ditch with I don't know how many was in the thing. And in Michigan, I think it's CLIO, they found, I think that was a place, they just found a bunch where somebody had worked at the, I'm not going to say a trustee, but in the court system or something, there was a storage with votes in there. And
well,
you
here's
tell me
I
these
don't
people
I,
aren't doing I, all this stuff. They I, have too much time in a month to go to go cheat.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know if any of that's true, but I do know that this, when you don't win, it's tough. It's hard. I mean, go back to the 1960 election. Nixon was claiming that Kennedy had stolen the election because Kennedy's father had ties with the mob and dead people were voting in Chicago. Then we had the 2000 election with Gore and Bush, and they stopped the vote count in Bush. They didn't even count, or Florida, they didn't even count. All, see, I made a gaffe there. Maybe I shouldn't be on the air. They voted, you know, they stopped the vote. They did not count all the votes in Florida. How do we know that Bush won? The Supreme Court stuff. So
when this stuff, Dominican does that, it's more like, I don't know, like, it's not like paper and stuff and things. And when you give people a month, you tell me this stuff isn't rigged. I don't care if the mafia gets in there or who. They're so desperate to control that they, to me, no, I watched those when Bush and Biden and Trump was doing it. And Trump would have thousands at his rallies. And then I saw Biden from his basement. And then I saw him, I don't know if it was at a TV station, six chairs. There were six people there. And then right after
I
watched the news.
Yeah,
this
but,
is the only way I find out is from the news. Right. And then Biden down the road had a thing, 100 people. And they said, well, they're mostly staff. But people watch CNN. They'll use one word, say humiliate. And they go the whole day, everybody's using that same word. But people, that's what I said. People can't see, but it's not going to do any good because I have a feeling we're already messed up. There's just too much corruption in the whole politics.
What?
And stuff, so it's not going to matter who gets in.
But we shall see what happens. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
All right, and the phone lines are always open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038, 56 minutes past the hour. You know, anytime you talk about politics, certainly presidential, that gets very, very personal, and we are in a presidential year. You don't want to defend, I don't know, people get passionate about presidential elections. Let's put it that way. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I don't think that she has the right picture of this world in her mind.
Well, you know what? As I was just about to say, I think when it's a presidential year, I think when you have picked your candidate, it's very hard to hear bad things about them, and I think you do tend to hear bad things about the other candidate, and I think that's what happens. And you know what? I'm just glad people pay attention. I hope they get the right facts. But there's a lot of information out there that's not right on both sides of the aisle, so it's very hard.
I watch all the news, you know, that I different places that I can get. And, so I try to be well-rounded. You ain't going to be well-rounded if you just listen to Fox. But she just took 10, 15 minutes there bashing Biden.
That's not going to be good for this liberal station, apparently.
She comes up with little snippets and talks about it, but she can't talk about it in any detail. So then she comes up with another snippet. I don't know. I don't think you'd let me go on if I wanted to bash Trump that way.
Well, you know, honestly,
she wants a dictator. She thinks it's fine to let him be our dictator since he wants to be our dictator. I mean, I don't think you're playing with a full deck.
Well, I think she, as most people do, they love their candidate, and when you want that candidate to win, especially if you don't like the other one, I think you tend to believe things that are more favorable to that candidate. But I think the people who like Biden do the same thing with Trump, and I think that it's very hard. I would let anybody speak their piece, because to be honest with you, I think these are the open airwaves, but I just hope that the facts are right, because I don't want people to be misinformed. Vote how you want. I just don't.
Yeah, vote how you want. I mean,
I just don't.
I like it when people call in and, you know, talk about something and disagree a little bit. But if we're going to talk about something, I'm going to talk about, you know, one or two things right now and not go on to 50 different things, because you can't think of anything else to support your original snippet. So now you're looking at another snippet to put Biden down. And then, that, you know, you can't talk no more about that. So you look at another one. I mean,
watch it. Hey,
let's have a good debate, not a babbling rant for a long time.
Stay tuned, because we've got to go to break, but stay tuned.
Okay.
All right. We got to go to break here in 10 seconds. But I think everybody tries their best. And we should be able to do this without calling names. Be back in 15 minutes.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray? I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous, as I wrote in the book. I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything.